It is wonderful to see those that are present, some who have traveled to be here with us, some who have returned, having been previously under the weather. There are many who are still under the weather, and hopefully they will improve as they are provided with the proper medications and that sort of thing. We've been spending a great deal of time on love this month for obvious reasons. But as we close out the month, I want to talk about something a little different, something that must exist before we can love, and that is growing as children of God. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Of course, as the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit, he wrote these words to those brethren in Ephesus, and he wrote, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." God wants his children to grow. You know, any father that begets a child wants that child to grow, wants that child to mature, wants that child to become all that they can be. You know, it's a great thing when a child grows and is guided and nurtured and then develops into what the father expects. Hopefully, the earthly fathers have the same desire for the soul of that child as does the heavenly father. And when that child grows, when that child matures, when a child becomes fruitful and profitable part of our society, it is wonderful and beneficial not only to them, but also to their fellow man. But it's especially true of our Heavenly Father. You know, everyone that is a Christian is a child of God. There is not a person who is in the kingdom that is not a child of God. Therefore, God is our Heavenly Father. And there are many who claim to be God's children who are not, as they were not born of God. One must be born before they can be his child. But those who were born to God are his children, and as such, are expected to continue to grow, to grow toward maturity, and be profitable in the kingdom for which the Lord died, until they die, or the Lord returns to receive those that are his. As we're going to talk about growing, let's talk about the phases of growth. We all know that things begin when they are born. In John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, we find Jesus talking about birth. And one thing is absolutely necessary before growth can occur, and that is birth. And of course, it's true in the physical sense and the spiritual sense. Some may counter by claiming that there is growth before one can be born or brought forth. Well, this is true. As the seed is planted and then growth begins, or cell division, which is growth, begins, and the body is formed, is prepared for entrance into the world. But birth happens when it is brought forth into the world. And from a spiritual standpoint, one must also be born before they can grow. Yes, is there growth ahead of time, or learning, or an understanding? Yes, one must come to an understanding before they can be born spiritually. And that understanding, of course, comes from the Word of God. But we all know that birth is when that one is brought forth. In that nighttime visit by Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, it's revealed what spiritual birth consists of. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Had he stopped right there, it would have been sufficient. One must be born before they can be part of the kingdom. You must be born before you can be. But he continues, And he gives an explanation so that we might fully understand that he was not talking about fleshly birth, even though Nicodemus didn't understand it at the moment. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, we all understand this. We were born into the human race. We remain fleshly bodies as long as those bodies function, as long as they continue. But he went on to explain the difference between the two when he said that which is born of spirit, or the spirit, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice again the contrast. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit brought us the word. The word teaches, the word instructs, and then one obeys that word, they're born into the kingdom of God spiritually. It is necessary for the seed or the word to enter into the heart in order for spiritual germination to take place. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we can see this. As Peter was writing to those who had been born again, those who were children of God, those who were expected to grow, to continue to be nurtured, to continue to take in that spiritual word, that spiritual nourishment into their hearts, their minds, and grow thereby. But he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You cannot change the word of God. Many people have attempted to. But when it all boils down to it, when they have attempted to change the word of God, they have altered it. They have made it something that it is not. But the word of God, the truth that is in the word of God, abides forever. And it lives. It produces. Now, this birth is in baptism. The spirit is the germinating power, and the water is the element of birth. Now, this doesn't mean that the water is the mother, as charged by some men who irreverently ridicule baptism. Because God had Paul say through the Spirit, or had the Spirit had Paul say in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26, that the new covenant is the mother. But water is the element of birth, and it brings us into the new life spiritually, as declared in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, where it is made specifically clear that unless one is baptized into Christ, they are not born into the kingdom. It reads, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that passage encapsulates the whole, not only of the birth, but that which is to happen afterwards. We're planted, we are resurrected, and walking in newness of life. But I wanted to focus upon this, that when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, that is when we are born into the kingdom. It's the full and complete representation of the new birth, the coming forth out of a life of sin into a life in Christ. No other way is a spiritual birth. What follows birth? Infancy. Oh, what a wonderful thing when a new baby arrives. It is just so marvelous. Oftentimes people will talk about their babies in their family and everything. Oh, he's so cute. You know, I really have a hard time remembering an ugly baby. But I just don't remember that they're, you know, are some more attractive than others? Maybe. But babies are precious. And infancy follows birth. And the same thing is true spiritually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we see this. But when a baby is born, he or she is known as an infant. I was reading something here recently about a man who was the oldest in his family. And as a child, he was always the baby until his brother came along. And then he began to be called by his name. Well, guess who was the baby now? His little brother. And so when a child is born, they are the baby, but they are known as an infant. And an infant cannot partake of the same foods as those who are fully developed. They must be fed properly. We strain their food, we purchase baby foods and all of those sort of things. But the same thing is true from a spiritual context. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit, writing to the Corinthian brethren here, those who were in Christ, those who have been born, yet they were still infants. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." When one is first born into the kingdom of God, they are not mature any more than an infant who is born into a family is not mature. And therefore, verse 2 says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither were ye able," or neither yet now are ye able. And we need to understand that we provide the types of foods that people can consume, that which they can digest, that which their systems can handle. And they are expected to grow, and as they grow and as they mature, they move toward when they could take on meat and that sort of thing. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we see that this has a spiritual application as well. You know, we feed our infants with milk that they might grow. Spiritually, we are to partake of milk. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Again, every father wants his child to grow, to mature, to receive the nourishment that he needs. From infancy, with the right foods and nourishment, growth occurs, and that infant advances toward childhood. That's when the baby is no longer called a baby, but now is referred to as our child, even though a baby is still a child. But we're talking about the phases of growth. So we have birth, then we have infancy, and then we have childhood. From a spiritual standpoint, the same thing is true. Not only true as individuals who have been born into the kingdom, they start out as babies or infants, they grow into childhood, and then advance into or toward adulthood. The same thing is true of the church itself. You know, it's well established that children do not arrive fully informed and educated. As you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, those of us who have had or have teenagers sometimes question that statement. Those children think that they came fully educated. I know we all got to a point in our lives when we thought we knew more than mom and dad, but we were still children. And part of childhood is the fact that we don't understand everything. We're growing toward it. But childhood is definitely a phase of one's growth. You know, in some ways, we're not to remain as children. In some ways, we should. And the Bible will point out some things. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, as the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to these same people that he had previously written to about being babes in Christ, he told them, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." In other words, a child is supposed to, and it is proper that they grow, and as they grow, their little minds develop, and as their minds develop, they are able to take in more, understand more, see the truth. But there are ways in which we should be children. "Howbeit in malice, be ye children." What a great, great example that children set before us. Yes, they have their squabbles. You see small children, you can take any group of small children and put them together, and there's going to be a squabble. It's just a fact of life. Somebody wants the orange crayon at the same time somebody else wants the orange crayon, or whatever it is. And there might be a little squabble, but then you turn around and just a minute or two later, why, the children are hugging. They enjoy each other's company. And that's what he's talking about here. When it comes to malice, we are to be children. We're to allow ourselves to love these people spiritually, even though they may have hurt our feelings or whatever the case may be. As we continue reading the passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 20, "But in understanding, be men." Can we not see that spiritually this has an application? "Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." We are to develop. We are to grow. And as we grow from infancy into childhood, we begin to understand more. And as we understand more, we're able to receive it. And then ultimately, we work toward adulthood. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 is another passage regarding children. This is talking about children, those who are young, those who are part of a family. They have adults over them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This has a spiritual application as well. Those parents who are in the Lord will instruct their child. They will provide them with the proper nourishment so that the phases of growth can continue as they should. They were born. They will be infants. They will be children. And in so doing, they will grow and mature. Then we come to a phase of teens. I've talked to a lot of parents. Many of them say that the teen years are the hardest years. I think that people have been programmed to perhaps look at phases that children will go through and dread certain ones of them. I was told that the twos, well, you just wait till your baby's 2 years old. We didn't have the terrible twos that I remember. Maybe that's why the wife was to raise the children. The men don't have the patience. But I don't remember him having the terrible twos. And yes, sometimes people look at it and say, oh no, next year's going to be rough. My children are going to be teens. What this is talking about is young men and young women. We can look at it from a spiritual standpoint as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, now Timothy probably wasn't a teen. He probably was a young adult when this was written to him. But notice the instruction of the Spirit through the pen of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Just because one is young does not mean that they do not have understanding of some degree. Just because one is young does not mean that they have no mind. But then he tells them how to use that mind. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or manner of life, in charity, which is love, in spirit, the attitude, in faith, doing that which is found in the Bible, in purity. And then he tells him how to continue that. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Our young people need to have those things which they have learned as babies and as children to be supported as they continue to grow. In verse 14, we see that he's dealing with the babyhood of the church in which there were spiritual gifts. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. But in verse 15, we have an admonition that can apply to all young people and all older people as well as we continue to grow. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. How many of us as teens gave ourselves wholly toward maturing, toward growing? Meditate on things. Of course, this is talking about the word, the reading, the exhortation, the doctrine, meditating on these things. And here's why: that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Oftentimes, the steps toward adulthood are formed in the teenage years. And if the teen is properly directed, properly instructed, and is growing, they will move toward adulthood as they should. Which brings us to our next phase in growth. All want to grow up. I know many young people, myself included, oftentimes look toward the time, I can't wait till I'm grown. I used to say, well, I can't wait till I'm grown till nobody can tell me what to do. Boy, did I have a rude awakening. There's always somebody that's going to be instructing you, that's going to be guiding you. And just because we're adults does not mean that we have reached maturity. One can be an adult. I know a lot of 40-year-old children when it comes to maturity and that sort of thing. We'll talk about maturity, which is the next step. But let's talk about adulthood for a second. in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The caution was given that we henceforth be no more children. And then he explains what it means by that. He's talking about children in understanding. Remember previously in 1 Corinthians, he said, be not, or it be in understanding, be men. Excuse me. But here he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Those who have these doctrines of men, those who are by deceptive means teaching people, they're trying to draw them away. They're trying to deceive people. But what does the Apostle Paul write to them? As directed by the Spirit in verse 15, but speaking truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole body has to grow. The whole being has to grow. And we are approaching, or as we have arrived at adulthood, we should have grown. The same thing is true spiritually. When we become adults, it's time to get about business, to do the things that we were supposed to do in order to be fruitful. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. He's talking to Christians here. If ye then be risen with Christ, you've already participated in birth, you've gone through infancy and childhood and teens or young adulthood, and now you're into adulthood. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. What a wonderful, wonderful statement that Jesus made while as a young person, having stayed behind when the group moved on to go back to their homes. He stayed behind and was talking to the doctors of law and confounding many of them. And when his earthly parents came back, he said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We're to move toward that which we should be doing, setting our affection on the things that above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Well, verse 3 tells us in Colossians chapter 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We died to the world. We died to sin. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear also, or with him, also appear with him in glory. So what are we to do? According to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we are to set him apart in our lives as adults, spiritually. He is to be the first and foremost thing within our lives. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, in our minds, we are to focus upon the Lord, upon the teaching that he would have us know, and he's provided in his word through the Spirit. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, until we are full grown spiritually, we cannot do that. We cannot provide the information that people want to know, the people that they should know, the things that come from the Word of God. And into adulthood, the phase that we talk about last would be maturity. And I think all should desire to grow to a point that we are mature. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 13 gives us the best possible example and then shows why we should continue to grow into maturity. We don't come mature. We don't arrive at maturity halfway through our youth or our childhood. It is when we become adults, and spiritually, this same thing is true. It's speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. None can read the accounts of the life of Jesus Christ and say that he did not suffer. And being made perfect or whole or complete, he completed the plan of God that brought salvation to humanity. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Notice what he was telling these people who were children of God, who were Christians, those who had been born, those who had gone through their infancy and their childhood and were supposed to be in adulthood. He said, for the time when ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as had need of milk and not of strong meat. If you'll remember, we talked about milk in the infancy phase of growth. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we continue to look into maturity, we can see in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 that the Apostle Paul wrote is directed by the Spirit, but put ye on the Lord Jesus and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The mature Christian will strive to maintain full control of him, his or herself. This includes our emotions. So, we've talked a lot about phases of growth and what spiritual growth is. Here's some things that spiritual growth is not. It's not accomplished by picking and choosing what we want to do and what we don't want to do. You can't look into the Bible and you can see the commandments of God and say, well, I don't like that one. That's not how God planned it. It's not accomplished by assuming that spiritual growth will happen without effort. A lot of times, children in the physical realm do not like to eat certain things. A number of different things are said to those children. Sometimes the daddy will say, you'll never grow up to be big and pretty like me if you don't eat. Well, I guess that depends on your vision of what what the man looks like. You may not want to grow up to look like him. But spiritual growth takes effort. It cannot happen on its own. If you do not have the right nourishment, growth will not happen physically nor spiritually. And it cannot be contracted out to church time. There are those who say, you know, I've not missed a Bible study in 5 years. We had the same thing in school. There was 1 year that I got a perfect attendance award. I have no idea what I learned that year. What does that tell you? I was there, but did I grow? Maybe not. And so, spiritual growth cannot be contracted out to church time. So how does spiritual growth happen? When we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Keeping in mind that our birth came about as someone introducing us to the Word of God and us feeding on the Word of God, coming to an understanding of the Word of God about our soul's condition and what we needed to do. But as children of God, if we want to grow spiritually, we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. That doesn't mean just to dip our toe in it every once in a while. That doesn't mean just to flip through the Bible and see what's interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we've already used this passage or part of this passage one time, but look at this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's why it's there. For our growth. For our spiritual well-being. And we must immerse ourselves in it. If we just take a lackadaisical attitude toward Bible study, we're not going to learn. And if we do not learn, we're not going to grow. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we see that the Apostle Paul was writing to those brethren. For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They were receiving the spiritual nourishment that they needed, and so that they might continue to mature. Maturity is not a stage that we reach and then stop. We must continue to grow. Sometimes people say, well, I've stopped growing. We always are growing. And our minds need to continue to grow. There needs to be an influx of information for us to work on. I'll guarantee you one thing to make the brain stop working is for you to stop putting information in. And if you stop putting information in, the brain sits back and goes like, well, I got nothing to do. But what if you put the Word of God in it every day? What are you going to think about? What are you going to dwell on? How are you going to mature? Now, we got to make sure we don't use the wrong standard. Sometimes people put the wrong things in. I know that the old adage for computers is garbage in, garbage out. And the same thing is true with our minds. Our mind is basically man's computer. If we put the wrong thing in, or if we use the wrong standard, I don't know much about coding computers, but I understand that if you write in the wrong or type in the wrong figures, the wrong numbers and letters, and the wrong sequence, you're not going to end up with the result you want. We've got to use the right standard when it comes to the Word of God so we can have spiritual growth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we see that the Apostle Paul told those people, as the Spirit gave him direction, that they themselves were not the guide. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In other words, they weren't using themselves as the standard. In another place, he said that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God was the one that gave the increase. And therefore, we're to use only the right standard if we expect spiritual growth, the true standard. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Notice, this did not say to follow the preacher or follow the elders or follow the whatever. There are passages for that. A preacher that preaches the truth, yes, he should be followed so long as he's following the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, living the Word of God. But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Stop and think about it. Whose children are we? Are we the preacher's children? Are we the elder's children? No, we're God's children. And God expects that spiritual growth and has provided the means whereby it can happen. Then he says in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 5, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Only the true standard. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same book and chapter, John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came and he spent time here among humanity. He did so in order to fulfill his Father's will. And he set the standard. Those who were eyewitnesses were directed to write, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Spiritual growth also happens only if we keep on abounding. Oftentimes people ask me, where did you go to school? I know they're not talking about my primary education. I'm not ashamed of where I went to school or my primary education. They are talking about maybe where I went to school, my secondary education. We should go to school every day. We are to keep abounding. It doesn't matter if we went to a well-known preacher's training school, or if we were taught by someone else, or if we just worked hard, have the support of our wife and family and other people. We must continue to keep on abounding if we're going to spiritually grow. All Christians have to grow spiritually, not just those that have gone to a specific preacher's school, that sort of thing. In First Thessalonians, I believe it is, chapter 4, verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. Maturity is not a phase which has a cutoff. We are to continue to grow. The question then is, are we Christians that are still growing? We should be. If we're not, why not? Perhaps it's because we have not immersed ourselves in the Word of God. Perhaps we're maybe looking into the wrong standard. I know some who have been drawn away by reading what man has said. They've been drawn away from the true Word. And yes, they stop growing spiritually. Those also who have not been born into the kingdom are not Christians, nor are they the children of God, nor can they mature spiritually. They need first to be born into the kingdom. Spiritual growth should occur with all people. But birth is where it begins. One must be born into the kingdom. And then they can be as an infant, and then grow to childhood, into adulthood, and finally maturity, and continue in spiritual growth. That's what the Lord wants for the church. That's what the church should want. That's what the individuals which make up the church should want. And perhaps that's what you want. Perhaps you're here and you've not been born into the kingdom. Know that that is where you begin. Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45 said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Therefore one must hear the word of God." They must hear the gospel. Having heard the gospel, they must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the very foundation of Christianity. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Jesus also in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5 said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And as we studied in our Bible class today, Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, one must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The question was asked, "See, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Following "hear, believe, repent, and confess," one is to be baptized. Even Saul, having been approached by the Lord himself on the road to Damascus, he was told where to go. He was told that someone was going to come to him and tell him what to do. And the final instruction that was given to him regarding the salvation of his soul, we read in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias, as directed by the Lord, came to him and said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Have you not done these things today? If not, first and foremost, you're not a child of God. Secondly, you cannot mature spiritually until you are born. But perhaps you're here and you've not adhered to the final step in the gospel plan of salvation. Oftentimes people say there's five steps. I think there are six. And the sixth is an ongoing and continual. Not only must one hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, one must also remain faithful unto death. Just as the church at Smyrna was told in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Do you want that crown of life? If you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to. You need to be born so that you can grow. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel, but you've not allowed yourself to continue to grow, to mature, and for whatever reason have allowed sin to enter into your life, know that you have stopped growing. You need to continue to grow. You need to work toward maturity. But there's a way that you can reverse that what you have done. That is to return to God as his child in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." As we open and sing the selected hymn, we're going to sing the first and the last verse. Therefore you have that period of time in which to respond this morning to either become a child of God, to be born into the kingdom, or to return to him as is needed. Let us stand and let us sing.